Today we are doing part three of a series we are in 1 John. And the last couple of weeks, the first 2 weeks, we talked about a few things. I just want to kind of give an overview of that so we can connect that to this week's lesson. The first week we talked about, you know, fellowship, and or the word is koinonia in the Greek. And we see that Jesus didn't just give his life to bring us forgiveness and to remove God's wrath from our life, but also that we might have fellowship with the Father and the Son and with each other. And that word fellowship is not just about having, like we think of, like coffee hour, and we have a coffee together and have a snack together after church, or we meet together for coffee somewhere and hang out. Now, that word fellowship, it's the word koinonia, and it really talks about the supernatural life that we share in Christ. It's intimate experiential relationship we have with God, and we as believers are interconnected. We're united. We're sharing life with Christ and in Christ and each other through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's this reality that we live our lives as shareholders and partners with each other, and with Jesus in His kingdom enterprises. And so that's one of the things we talked about in the first week. And then we talked about last week talked about the where he says in chapter one, verse five, where he says that this is a message we have heard from Him, meaning from Jesus. John was talking about, and we proclaim to you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. So no darkness dwells in God at all. And with that, he's saying no evil can have a part in Him. And he goes on to say if someone says they have fellowship with God while they're walking in darkness, they're really lying. They're not practicing the truth. And he sets this contrast between light and darkness, between righteousness and truth, between good and evil, between falsehood and truth. And so there's no gray area there. So he's talking about, you know, living a life of relationship with God means our life is going to change. And we're going to live a life that's righteous, and we're called to live in the light, not in darkness. We come to live authentically before God, being real with Him, being real with ourselves, and looking always to be open to what God's doing in our life and responding to Him. Well, this week we're going to pick up in chapter 2, verse 3 through 11. We're going to look at this week. And let me, I'll read those scriptures, and we'll see there's a tie-in. There's a continuity of the whole letter, and it's important that we read it in its context, not just taking pieces out. And so that's why I did the review from last couple of weeks. And this week, let's start reading here in verse 3. It says, "And by this we know that we have come to know Him, if we keep His commandments. Whoever says, 'I know Him,' but does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in Him. Whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." Let's look at verse 3 there. It says, "And by this we know that we have come to know Him, if we keep His commandments." Here's John is giving another standard, just as he did in chapter 1, verse 5, where he talks about, that's actually for chapter 1, verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we're lying. And so here's this test. Like, you see, if someone says they have fellowship with God, but they're living a life in darkness, they're really not telling the truth. And here he's saying the same thing. If someone said they come to know Him, they need to keep His commandments. That's how you know they really come to know Him. So there's this test he's giving to see if someone really claims to know God. You'll know that's true because they're obeying God's commandments. Now he's talking about perfection, because we'll get into that. But he said there's a change of life. There's a change of lifestyle that moves towards obeying God's commands. And it's really about moral character and conduct of our life. And then Titus says another verse. There's a verse in Titus I want to read. It says Titus chapter 1, verse 16. And Titus, Paul's writing to Titus, he says, "They that profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. They're detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work." So Paul's saying very something similar. He says that if they say they know God, but they deny him by his works, they don't really know God. So back in chapter 1, verse 6, where he says, if you say you have fellowship with God, you're going to walk in the light if you really are telling the truth. And here he's saying, if you say you know God, you're going to obey his commands. And see, in this ancient time, the thought was, this concept is light really implies there's vision, there's perception, there's knowledge. So John makes this connection that someone that truly has a life of fellowship or koinonia with God and walks in the light will naturally lead to knowing God and obeying God's commands. Then he goes on to read also to verse 4. He says, "Whoever says I know him but does not keep or does not observe or does not guard himself to make sure he follows God's commands, he's a liar, and the truth is not in him." Now, here in verse 3 and in verse 4, John uses his word know. And he actually uses his word about 25 times in this letter. And what does that mean when he's saying, "I know him"? Why does he emphasize this word, know? What could be the connection that John is making, or the contrast John's making to those that have these Gnostic tendencies, and their emphasis is on knowledge? And why is he telling this to the believers there? Well, first of all, look at that word know there. It means to discern. It means to understand, to perceive. And it means to have this experiential knowledge of somebody. It's actually something used for intimacy between husband and wife. It's something like when we say, like, I know President Biden. I know about him. I know some information about him. But I can't say I really know him. I don't have a relationship with him, that I know him. So when he's saying that, he says, when someone says, "I know God," he's not saying, "I know information about God." He's saying that person is saying, "I have a relationship with him, with God." See, the Gnostics had this view that they believed knowledge of God came from, like, mystical visions, these experiences, revelations they get from God. And it was all about the spiritual experience. And they didn't have any real concern or interest in the moral conduct and character that was supposed to go along with it. So John's reminding the believers here that knowledge of God is not just about having these mystical visions and these revelations. It's not that these are bad things, but the real knowledge of God manifests itself, it demonstrates itself, that we have a relationship with him by our obedience to his commands. So he's talking about how he's telling these believers is, how do you recognize those that are having these, because John's dealing with some false teachers and false belief systems that are going on and infiltrating the church. And this is how you test, how do you see? He's letting them know. But he's also saying, don't be fooled about this. Don't be fooled also to make it just about your spiritual, mystical experiences. It's about also following God's commands. And John lets us know in verse 4, the one that says, "I know him," and doesn't keep the commandments, that person's a liar. The truth is not in him. And if the truth is not in him, that really is a picture that God's word is not a controlling influence in that person's life. And he's really lost touch with the spirituality of what it means to know God. And really, like, if that person's a liar, that person can't be trusted. And with that, it's another test he's giving the believers and how to respond to the false teachers and what they're saying and what they're promoting. Let's read verse 5 and 6. "But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked." So the one who keeps God's word is one where we see God's love is truly perfected in that person. I'm going to read it from the Message translation. It says, but the one who keeps God's word is the person in whom we see God's mature love. The ESV has the word perfected, where God's love is perfected in that person who is obeying God's command, his word. And it really is talking about that it's come to its full, rich experience of God's love. Not that that person just knows it. He knows God. He knows his love. But also it's demonstrated through his life in loving other people. Now, some may ask, like, does it happen all at once? A Christian becomes a believer in Jesus and they have God's love perfected in them? No, there's a process to this. I was talking about if someone obeys God's word, as he obeys his commands and he's practicing living that kind of life, so God's love matures in that person, is brought to its completion, brought to its perfection, what is God's purpose for that love in their life is. And I'll read actually from John chapter 14, 21 through 23, and see what's promised to those that are obedient disciples. And it reads, whoever has my commands, this is Jesus talking, whoever has my commands and keeps them, he it is who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home in him. So we see here in Jesus' words, he tells us that the obedient disciple, the one that's responding to his commands, is promised a special experience of the love of the Father and the Son, and having the Father and the Son take up residence in that disciple, being at home in that disciple. Now, John uses this word love here in the letter, in the scripture we just read in verse 5 and 6 here, but also it's at least 18 times in this letter. John uses the word love, or in the Greek, it's the word agape, and you may have heard that word before. And so it's really a significant part of his message throughout the letter here. Jesus' love for us and our call to love just like he did. And so what does John really mean by this word here? You know, he uses a variety of words here, whether it's the word walk, where it says, you know, walk the same way Jesus walked. When he says walk, he's not talking about our gait and the style of walk we have. He's talking about how we live the whole of our life. And then he talks about the word fellowship. It's different, a word we use, fellowship, in a certain way. But that's not really how they would have heard it. They would have heard it in a different way, of this partnership, this shareholders in a common interest, a common enterprise, partners in a piece of property. And so they would have saw that word differently than we do. And we need to make sure we see or hear and understand what John is really saying and how they would have heard it. We should hear it the same way. This word love is the same way. It's a word we throw around all the time. And it means something different to certain people than what John's saying. So we really need to define the word so we understand what he's really saying, so we can apply it. And that word love or agape here has nothing to do with sex. It does not include affection, but it doesn't mean it doesn't have affection or emotion tied to it. It's primarily seen as in the divine self-giving of Christ, where he gives his life, his generous benevolence for the sake of another without expectation of return. It's seen in his self-sacrifice to the point of death. In 1 John 2:2, where he says he's propitiation or atonement or the sacrifice, he gives his life for our sins. But not only ours, saying us that are believers, but also the sins of the whole world. And then I want to read from Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8. Where another description we see what that love, what he means by love here, is, it says verse 5 of Philippians chapter 2, have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, gave up his rights by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Let's look back at verse 5, the second half of verse 5 and verse 6 of chapter 2 in 1 John. It says, by this we may know that we are in him, meaning in Jesus. Whoever says he abides in him, in Jesus, ought to walk in the same way in which Jesus walked. So we've had John say that whoever says he has fellowship with God will walk in the light. And whoever says they know God will obey his commands. And here he says, the one who says he abides in Jesus ought to walk in the same way Jesus walks. So here's this call to live like Jesus. Now, what's he mean by the word abide here? Now, that's really, John says it in another place in John, in the Gospel of John, where he talks about abiding in the vine and Jesus being the true vine, we're the branches. And he talks about in verse chapter 15 of Gospel of John, verse 6, he says, verse 5 rather, whoever abides in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit, or he will walk like Jesus walked. And he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So what do you mean? What's he mean by he who says he abides? He lives, he remains, he continues, he endures with Jesus in him. And see, there's this vine branch relationship imagery that John's really spoken about in the Gospel of John, chapter 15. And he said, where he says, this is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, right? And that's what he's called us to, is he wants us to bear fruit, is to walk like Jesus, to do the very things Jesus did, to live the same kind of life Jesus lived, to love the same way Jesus loved us. In that same vine branch imagery that's in the Gospel of John, in chapter 15 of John, it also describes the experience where if one is not abiding or there's disobedience, it can produce a breaking off in relationship and fellowship with the vine. And so back to 1 John chapter 2, verse 5 through 6, he's really speaking about a believer's fellowship with God, implying our life and our fellowship with God is to be modeled after that of Jesus, walking just like Jesus did in fellowship with God. He walked in fellowship with God and in turn obeyed God and God's word. Now, does modeling our life after Jesus include just obeying his commands? Like we're going to just, our life is just given to trying to live sinlessly and to live a righteous life, and that's all there is to being, living our walk to be like Jesus? No, it's also that he's talking about loving, intentional. We're going to see that as we get further into this section of scripture. It's about loving others, but not just that. It's also about our attitude. It's about our character. It's about treatment of others. It's about how we see the world. How do we see people? It's how we do kingdom ministry. Jesus didn't just come and live a righteous life. He brought the kingdom, the benefits, and the blessings of the kingdom to people he met every day. That's what it means to walk just like Jesus walked. It starts with a fellowship with the Father, being intimate and in relationship with God the Father, in turn changing our attitude, our character, in how we treat, how we love others, how we see the world, and in turn, how we bring God's kingdom. Remember, we're called to be in fellowship with the Father. Jesus was in fellowship with the Father, and he was a partner with him in kingdom enterprises and bringing the blessings of the kingdom to those in this world, and that's what we're called to do also. Now, with that being said, when you think about how what John is saying and how its connection or contrast to the those that had Gnostic tendency, Gnostic beliefs that were starting here, where they saw that the spirit's good, but the materials is bad, or the flesh is bad. And really, they weren't really concerned or interested in moral character or moral actions. They didn't see those as things that mattered. And John is really making a direct, forceful statement saying that if one claims to have a relationship with God, that he knows God, it means they should have a moral behavior that is worthy of God, of the God they know, they say they know. And he then tells them and us that the human life of Jesus is the measuring stick. It's the yardstick that we use to measure what true moral an ethical behavior should look like and what kingdom ministry should look like. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. Read that. Beloved, I'm writing to you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it's a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. John here goes back and forth to talking about this old commandment and a new commandment, but it's really not a new one. It's an old commandment. What is John really talking? What's the point he's trying to make here he's saying he's giving them an old commandment, that it's a new commandment? And what does he mean by this? Well, if we look at 2 John verse 5, John lets us know what he's talking about. He says, I'll read that. It says, this is 2 John, not 1 John. 2 John verse 5. I now ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one you have had from the beginning, that we love one another. Now, if you look back to 1 John 1:5, he talks about this is a message we have heard from him. He's talking about what we've heard from, what we've proclaimed, what we've heard from him. And so here's, he's saying, what we've heard from the beginning from us is that you're supposed to love one another. And it's what we heard from Jesus. And that goes back to John 13, verse, the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 34 through 35. And he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. That's Jesus' command after he's wash the feet of the disciples. So this commandment is not a new one, but something the readers would have heard from the very beginning when John had first met them, first shared the gospel with them. They hear the message that God is light and in him is no darkness. And they also heard that he's saying, this is the message you heard from the beginning, love one another just like Jesus loved us. So John is letting these believers know their real responsibility is not to listening to and following the false teacher's commands, but the very command they heard from the beginning. And that's because it came from Jesus himself, Jesus' own words and his own deeds, not these new teachings that these false teachers were bringing. So this old message is always new. It has this freshness to it about it, but every day with new opportunities to express and experience the love of God. It's not something we just have and we think about it. It's something we're called to express and give away. Just as Jesus, he says, love one another, loving the person God puts before you this day. And that's what Jesus did. Whoever encountered, he loved that person that God placed before him. And we are called to do the same, walk in the same way Jesus walked. So John is really giving them a standard that would expose the false teachings for it is. If it does not include following this commands, these words of Jesus, to love one another as he has loved us, he's saying, here's this test, which will let you know that that's a false teaching if it doesn't include that. We're called to walk like Jesus and to walk in the light and walk in the way he loved people. And John also ties this new command to the phrase, the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. So what is John saying there? There are Jewish traditions that used light and darkness imagery for good and evil, comparing those, and to portray the present evil age that we live in is ruled by darkness. But there's this age to come, and it's seen as in terms of the triumph of light and of God. So darkness, he's talking about, speaks of this evil age, which Satan is the god of this age. And there's the true light that speaks of the coming new age of the fullness of God's kingdom, where there'll be no darkness. As you said, in God, there's light, and God is light, and in him, there's no darkness. And the phrase, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining, tells us the command to love like Jesus belongs to the age, the coming age, the new age of when Christ returns, the age of righteousness, as God's kingdom come, which has already begun in Jesus in his first coming. He says the kingdom has come, right? It's not here completely. It's the already and not yet. But it's come. It started already. And it doesn't belong to this current evil age of darkness, which is passing away. It's something of the new age, of the age to come with the kingdom when Jesus returns. And he's saying that love, we're called to love like Jesus, belongs to the new age. And this age is passing away. This darkness is leaving. See, Christ's incarnation brought a light into the world which will never, ever be extinguished. The love he manifested, the love he demonstrated, and that he taught his disciples to demonstrate is characteristic of the age to come. It is the darkness of this present world, this present evil age, and all its hatred, which is destined to disappear forever. That's where he's talking about saying, because the darkness is passing away. It's gonna at some point vanish and be gone. And the true light's already started shining. Christ came and brought this light, and the love we're called to live like. And it's a part of the coming new age. And when it comes, the old age is going to disappear. And there will be only light and no darkness. So what is John saying in all this? He's saying our attitudes, our words, our actions toward other people demonstrate whether we are in the darkness that is passing away or in the true light that is already shining and that will never be extinguished. He's saying to live a life of agape love is to walk in light. To walk in fellowship with God is to know him. And it's this walk that really is to walk like Jesus. And it's walking on a sure foundation. And it keeps us from what would make us stumble. See, he's saying as light and love, they go together. Fellowship and knowing God go together. Verse 9, 10, and 11 from chapter 2 says, whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in light. And in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded him. So here's another warning from John to his readers against the spiritual danger that is all too real. And he's saying that a Christian who can hate his fellow Christian has not really genuinely escaped from the darkness of this present passing evil age. And what he's saying is that person has a lot to learn about God, and he really can't legitimately say or claim that they have an intimate knowledge of God. If he really knew Christ as he ought to, he would love his brother just as Jesus loved us. Now, in these couple of verses, John uses the word hate. And I just want to make sure we understand what he means by what he let's define hate as John would have seen it or wanted them to hear it. Hate is not just about a feeling or emotion, just like love isn't with agape. See, hate is primarily seen in what one does or does not do. Hate is the absence of the deeds of love. Where there's no love, there is hate. To walk in light is to love one's brother, and God's love will intentionally express itself in actions that flow from this disposition, this predisposed benevolence that we have, just like the Father. See, love can never be neutral or remain unexpressed. Love that's not expressed is not really love at all. When it's absent, hate is present. That's what he's saying. So whoever loves is in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling, John says. See, they have clarity of vision. They experience a deeper measure of God's light and his love personally and for others. And the one who hates his brother is not simply in the darkness, but he does not know where he's going. See, the darkness so blinds him that he has no idea he's even blind and does not know where he's going. And to live without loving one's brother means that we're denying oneself the presence of God and the reality of fellowship with the community of faith. Let that challenge you to love others just as Jesus loved you. Until next week, God bless.